Hey, in your Bibles, as you are turning to Psalm 22, that's where we're going to be today. We're in a series called iPsalms, looking at this book that taught Jesus how to worship. Jesus' playlist on his iPod, the songs that would have shaped his life. I want you to think about this situation, and I thought, Brent, you just set this up so well. I want you to think about if you've ever known a person that was really angry but wouldn't admit it. So who can think of them? Now, don't point at anybody. We're just gonna be thinking. But you can think of somebody that you've known, maybe a family member, a friend, where they've been intensely dealing with anger or frustration or something like that. But if you would ask them, they would say, "No, I'm not." Who can think of that? I think most of us have somebody like that, where somebody has been dealing with anger, frustration, maybe grief or even depression. But if you were to ask them, "Hey, you know, Andrew, how's it going?" "Well, you know, you seem angry." The response would probably be like, "No, I'm not angry." And you know, they're kicking stuff and doors are slamming. Excuse me, but they'll deny it all the way. That's the thing, the way it is with emotions. We feel them. We experience them. We can't turn them on and off. They're just part of being human. But we do have choices about how we process them and where we process them. Now, sometimes I think church culture, especially when it comes to things like anger and frustration and sadness, sometimes our church culture doesn't help us that much because we come up with the idea that if it's a negative emotion, it's a sign of spiritual weakness. You know, we love feeling joy. I mean, just like in a kid's sermon. What's your favorite emotion? Happy. If you had the choice between happy or sad, what would you rather be? Happy. Of course you would. Of course you would. And so it can be hard when we are experiencing sadness, grief, frustration, anger. It makes us think that, you know, maybe I shouldn't be feeling that. Or and maybe this is just me too. Like when you're nervous about something, do you ever do this? Like you hear scripture passages like Philippians 4 verse 6, and it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." You memorize it. "And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And that's God's word, and it's absolutely true. And at least for me sometimes, in the moment, I don't experience it as helpful. Because here's what I do. Now, I'm just being honest here, okay? This is what I do sometimes. Is if I'm stressed out about something, and so I go, "Okay, I'm feeling anxious, but the Bible says do not feel anxious." Now I'm feeling anxious about the fact I'm feeling anxious when I'm not supposed to be anxious. Then it says, "In everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving." I don't even know what petition is necessarily, and thanksgiving. So I pray. I just pray real fast and say, "Okay, God, I'm anxious. Make it go away. Or make the situation that's causing my anxiety go away." Wait 30 seconds, and it hasn't gone away. So what's the matter? Did I pray wrong? Or is God's promise not true? Neither. But sometimes there's going to be a longer journey, a much longer journey to finding peace. And the Psalms, especially the Psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 22, shows us in those times of anger and frustration and grief, how we can talk to God. I'm so grateful for this book. I'm so grateful for God's word because it just shows us how to live. So if you found it, we're going to be in Psalm 22 throughout the morning here. Now, the psalm starts off with some kind of footnotes. It says this: "For the director of music," right? You got those in your Bibles? And by the way, if you need a Bible and you don't have one of your own, there's a table full of Bibles over there. We'd love for you to have one. If you don't have one that you can call your own already, take that one home. It's our gift to you. You know, or open up your app on your smartphones. However you get to God's word, it really doesn't matter, okay? "For the director of music, to the tune of the dough of the morning, a song, a psalm of David. So this psalm, the words that we're about to read, these were words that were set to music that people would sing, okay? So that, just keep that as a backdrop. People would sing these words. Jesus grew up singing these words in church to the tune of, now I got one little rabbit trail. I find this part humorous, okay? The dough of the morning. The dough of the morning. What kind of a song does that make you think of? I'm thinking, morning has broken, pretty little song, right? As the deer pants for the wild. I'm thinking pretty little songs like that, and maybe, doe a deer, or as I like to think of it, doe a steak, a big, thick steak. Okay, anyways, so you're thinking, you're thinking these pretty little songs. And then in the midst of this pretty little song, and we don't know what the song sounded like, but I'm imagining a pretty little song. It gets to these words. It starts off with these words, okay? Just track with this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. That sounds like a death metal tune, doesn't it? You're like, my God. You can just hear that. I'm not sure exactly what they sang in church. But they found music to go behind this. To go along with this. Because these are emotions that people feel. And we need to find ways to express them to God appropriately. Okay? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. And here's the first big idea that I hope we'll be tracking with today. You can talk to God about what you're really experiencing and really feeling. You can talk to God about what you're really experiencing and really feeling. And one of the great things about the Bible, and especially the Psalms, it's like half of the Psalms are expressing some form of lament, some form of anger or frustration, or God, where are you? And God saw fit for these words to be recorded, and then, I mean, these are like, some cases, like 4,000 years old words. Because God wanted us to know that it's okay to talk to him about where we really are, not where we wish we were. Lord, I'd love to be feeling all this, but God wants to hear where you really are, including if where you really are is, God, I feel like my prayers are making no difference. God, it feels like when I talk to you, I'm just talking to a brick wall. Because if that's where you are today, if that's where you are today, God's word tells us. Talk to God about it. Express that to him. Now, I'm hoping for many of us today, this isn't a message for you personally. I mean, you know, hopefully you're not feeling grief today. But life happens. So maybe it is. Or maybe this is a message for the person next to you. Or maybe this is a message just simply to record and to be remembering then on the day when you do need to express those kind of words to God. God, where are you? Why are you so far away? Why can't I feel you? Why can't I see you? Why does it feel like when I pray, nothing happens? So we can talk to God about where we, about what we're really feeling and what we're really experiencing. And then verse 3, and we're going to speed up in just a moment here, but you're going to see this pattern back and forth between very honest conversation and then this next big idea. So we talk to God very bluntly about what we're feeling and experiencing, and then we find ways to anchor our feelings in a greater and larger reality. Verse 3, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. So he starts remembering how throughout history, God has been faithful to his people. So maybe for you, when you're having a really stressful day, this is what I do, you know, if I'm anxious. It's not so much about the prayer of God, please make it go away. God, please, you know, just solve all my problems. I mean, although it's okay to say that. It's okay to, I mean, that's kind of what we want, but the bigger picture is this. Lord, I remember that my grandparents went through the Great Depression. There are people in my immediate family that wondered, will we have enough to eat? And you brought them through it. I remember that in my faith ancestry, I mean, people that were followers of Jesus a long time before me, some of them were led into the Colosseum of Rome to be torn apart by lions, to be mocked publicly. And in some cases, that's exactly what happened. And yet, as a result of their life and their witness, there is now no city in the world that has more crosses than Rome. And on the gateway to the very same Colosseum where Christians were martyred, now instead of an insignia to Caesar is a cross. Look it up. In other words, there are people that have gone through situations as bad or worse, and that does not invalidate my experience or your experience. But other people throughout history have also gone through tough times, and God's been there too. So there's this back and forth. Lord, this is what I'm experiencing. This is how I'm feeling. And yet, Lord, I'm remembering I'm not alone. I'm one small part of this great big picture of what you're doing in history. So let's keep reading here. So verse 5, to you they cried out and they were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. In verse 6, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord deliver him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. So that's the experience. That's the situation. Some of you have experienced stuff like that. You are in settings from time to time where you are being mocked for your faith. And with the fact that you believe that if you are here as a believer, and if you're not, welcome. We are so glad to have you here. We love you. But if you are here as a believer, there are times where you feel like you are absolutely alone, where your trust in God, your trust in Jesus is something that would be made fun of, belittled. In verse 9, anchoring again in the larger experience, yet, do you hear that word yet? Just keeps coming up. Yet, you brought me out of the womb. You made me feel secure on my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. I've heard about you, Lord, since the day I was born. In verse 11, talking to God in very real language, Lord, this is what I hope you'll do. Lord, do not be far from me, for trouble is near. And there is no one to help. You ever felt that way? Lord, do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Because here's what's going on. Verse 12, again, just honest conversation with God. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, like pieces of broken clay. And my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and feet. One more little bunny trail. Just think about this. Jesus grew up singing this song. I wonder, we don't know exactly, but I wonder if when as a little boy and he's in church and they're singing this song to whatever tune they're singing this song, if he could have only known that these would be words that would be prophetically foretelling what his final moments on the cross would be like. All my bones are on display, verse 17. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Verse 19. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. Lord, this is what I hope you will do. Please help. And then, with verse 22, we start to see words of hope expressed. And that's the final big idea. I mean, we talk to God honestly about what we're experiencing. There is no emotion that is off limits. We tell God honestly what we hope he will do to resolve our situation. And then we root it in something, in an experience bigger than just us. We remember one of the best lies the devil will tell you. Just let me see your eyes for a second, because I know it's hot in here. One of the lies the devil is going to try, when he's really trying to get you down, he's going to say, you're the only one that's ever felt this way. You're the only one that's ever struggled with that temptation. You're the only one that's ever had it as hard as you have it right now. But that's a lie. And so as we ground ourselves in the bigger picture of God's work in the world and in the universe, we remember, no, there have been countless others that have felt just, or at least very similar to the way I felt, and God brought them through it. And God was enough. There have been other addicts that have struggled. There's other people that have wrestled with temptation, and God brought them through it. There's been other people that have gone through divorce, and you know what? They continued to trust God, and they were okay. There's other people that have gone through the kinds of grief and loss that I've experienced. And that doesn't invalidate anything that I'm feeling. It's okay to feel all the things that I feel. But one thing is not true, and that's that I am alone. I am never, ever alone. So I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. That's one of the reasons why we need worship, is so we can build each other up, so we can tell stories of God's faithfulness and faith, because sometimes on our own, we're just not strong enough to do it. We need each other. Then he just starts breaking out into praise. And actually, here's the part I should have told you earlier, and why Psalm 22 is so amazing. Because this is a psalm of lament that we know not just that Jesus heard it growing up. We know Jesus spoke it. One of his final words on the cross was the words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is Aramaic for, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting this psalm, these words, words he grew up hearing in temple as a little boy. And as the psalm comes to its conclusion, I will, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, revere him. All you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Even as the afflicted one, Jesus, is dying on the cross, crying out these same prayers. Verse 25, from you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. We just sang about that. For dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. And that's all of us. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn. And these are words written thousands of years ago about us. Future generations will know about the goodness of God. People yet unborn, they will proclaim his righteousness. He has done it. So let's start to apply this, okay? Now, hopefully on your way in your bulletin, you received a little insert. There's a page called Lament Like Jesus. And if for some reason you didn't pick one up, or because some of you are ninjas, like you sneak past our greeters. I just know, okay? You're sneaky, sneaky into church. That's totally cool. We love you. We're glad you're here. But you need a bulletin right now, okay? So if you need one, you can admit to being a ninja. Put your hand up, and we'll get a piece of paper to you quickly, and a pen, and let's start to apply this, just walking through the process of biblical lament. Lord, today, this is what I'm experiencing. If you have your piece of paper in front of you, as we remember that we can be honest to God about what we're feeling, maybe just write down a word that describes what you're feeling today. Or in the past 24 hours, here's some of the emotions I've experienced. Let's put a name to it. Lord, today I'm experiencing. Is it anger? Maybe that person that is really angry and really frustrated, and everybody around you knows it. Maybe it's time for you to know it. And name it and give it to the Lord. Grief? Are you sad today? It's okay if you are. And you can give it to God and he can handle it. Are you worried? It's okay if you are. You can give it to God and he can handle it. You're frustrated? Write it down. Or maybe today you're filled with joy and gratitude and thanks. Give that to God too. Sometimes that feels a little easier. But God still wants that. He wants to hear from his kids. He wants to hear from you. Lord, here's why I think I'm experiencing it. This is where you get to name names if you have to. So we don't show this to anybody. How about that? Okay? You don't need to post it on Facebook. Just give it to the Lord. Here's why I'm so frustrated, God. Here's why I'm sad. Or maybe even in that section, if you go a little off script, Lord, here's what I really hope you would do about this situation. Deliver me, save me. Any chance it could get a little easier? You can talk to God about that. Look at the third section as you maybe write some notes down. I remember that your goodness has been made known in the past in following ways. What are ways in the past that you've known that God has been faithful? Whether that's to you or maybe with the really big ones, you need to look to a bigger piece of history. I remember the recession we're going through right now pales to the Great Depression. And Lord, you brought people through that. The global uncertainty we feel right now pales to the uncertainty that some of our parents and grandparents, maybe great-grandparents, have experienced in the past. And God brought them through it. Anchor your grief in something bigger than you. Anchor your anger in something bigger than you. Including these things that you've done for me in the past. And so maybe there's some things that you want to write down there. Were you blessed to grow up knowing about the love of God? Or maybe you've experienced God's intervention in your life in particular and memorable ways. I remember, God, how you rescued me from. I remember, God, how you, I would probably write down how you captured my heart as a teenager, and I know he spared me from a heap of pain. And so therefore I will. Here's a point to maybe start expressing some hope. And so therefore, God, I will trust you. I'll tell people about you. I'll give thanks. How do you express hope today? So I'd like to lead us in a little time of prayer, and I'll leave some blank spots in there. And so, you know, we're maybe that word, you know, Lord, here's what I'm experiencing today. Maybe you want to whisper that to him. You can say it out loud if you really want to, but more than anything, it matters that you're expressing it to God. And let's just walk through that. God, thank you that we can talk to you about exactly how we're feeling, and that the Psalms, they not just give us permission to do that, they give us instruction in how to let you have it, how to let the air out of the balloon and give the pain and the frustration and the anger and the grief over to someone that can really carry it. Lord, forgive us when we express ourselves in ways that hurt the people around us. And thank you that you say, come to me. And so, Lord, we're coming to you right now. Lord, today, here's what I'm experiencing. And just name some things to the Lord. Maybe just under your breath, or if you really want to, out loud. But just start naming some things to God of what you're experiencing today. Is it anger? Frustration? Just name it to him. Lord, here's why I think I'm experiencing that. Just start naming that to him. And yet, Lord, I remember that your goodness has been made evident and known in the past. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. And let's name a few things out loud here. Ways that God has been faithful in the past. What comes to mind? Protection. Start naming a few things out loud. Come on. And Lord, because we remember your faithfulness and your goodness in the past, we want to trust you with our future. And Lord, hear our prayers of commitment as we lift those up, just silently. God, because you've been good, because you've been faithful in the past, here's how I want to hand this situation in the present over to you. So thanks, God, for your word. Thanks for this time together. Thanks that you continue to speak to your kids. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.